There's a Latin phrase, non sequitur. Have you ever heard that phrase before? It means literally in Latin, it does not follow. And so it means it doesn't make sense, it's not logical, it's things like that. And Rich asked me to do table talk today, and I got to thinking about, I'm going to conclude with a text just to bring this to a close, but I got to thinking about things that we say and do that are non sequiturs when it comes to the Lord's Supper. I remember way back in the beginning of our life as a church, I don't know if you remember it or not, but one of our table talkers got up and sort of made a political speech. Had nothing to do with Jesus at all. We had a guy in Lodi that every Sunday morning, whenever he did table talk, he would get up and do the same memorized table talk every time. And it was always more about time. He wanted to say it in as short and as efficient a way as possible. It was a non sequitur. It didn't follow. And then we had folks at a large church we were at in Texas that would, in those days, the Lord's Supper was in the early part of the service. And so about that time, you would see an influx of people who would come in through this one door in our sanctuary, into the sanctuary. They would sit down, take their places. They would take the Lord's Supper, and then they would get up and leave after the Lord's Supper was over with. And they didn't participate in the life of the church. They didn't participate in any other way in what was going on. Or there was the church where all the deacons would usher in, would come in a single file to the front of the auditorium, all dressed in suits, and they would pass out the Lord's Supper. And it was more like a military drill than it was the body of Christ getting together to eat the Lord's Supper. One more. Think about Paul's non sequitur. He talks about at Corinth. Corinth was a house church, and it was fairly typical of a Roman house in that time. They had a courtyard where you entered the house, and then around the courtyard were all these rooms, and the rich people in that church would all get back together in this one room in this house and eat the Lord's Supper together. And the poor people didn't get to eat with the rich people. The poor people who came later didn't get as much food as the rich people did. And it was a non sequitur. So Jesus, when this is in Matthew 26, when he was introducing for the first time the apostles to the Lord's Supper, it came in the form of Passover. But it has a very different character in it when you read what he says about it in Matthew 26. He says this, Matthew writing, of course. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. It's not little ceremonial pieces of bread like we had, but real bread. And he broke it in pieces, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them and said, not this cup, but the wine, this wine. And he says, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which is confirming the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What a different flavor, a different image, a different event this was than all those non sequiturs I mentioned to you. How Christ-centered they were, and how that changes the Lord's Supper when you approach the Lord's Supper from the way in which it was delivered by Jesus. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, eat, this is my blood. Take and drink, this is my blood. Could we pass out the Lord's Supper now?